Kum Lana Bat Gemara, we are up to Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, and we are in the middle of the subject of a Madir and a Mudir, where one person made a vow that he will, that the other person, the Mudir, should not have any benefit from him, and yet we said that you're permitted to teach. Certain things you're permitted to teach and certain things you're not permitted to teach. You're not permitted to teach Chumash because Chumash you can get paid for, and if you don't charge him, then you are doing him a favor that he just made himself some money, and that's having hana. But the other things, teaching medrash and halachas and agadas, which you don't get paid for, because since you don't get paid for, what benefit are you giving him? Teaching is a mitzvah, and there's no money involved, so you're not sparing him any money. There's no hana whatsoever. We tried to understand why mikra should be any different, and we gave an argument between Rabbi and Rabbi Yechanan, and generally the rule is whenever there's an argument, Rabbi and Rabbi Yechanan, halacha is always like Rabbi Yechanan. So Rav said the reason is because you're teaching him, you're actually serving as a babysitter, and it only applies to Chumash because young kids, once they're older, when they're ready to learn Mishnah and beyond, they're much more mature, they don't need this discipline. And Rabbi Yechanan said the reason is because of Pisuk timing, because you're teaching them teaching them the vowel, the truck. So now we are up to the Gemara here, Meisavei. We're asking a question, and we're going to see discuss further just Rabbi Yechanan and Rav. Meisvei, about 10 lines from the bottom of the page, on Zayin Amud Aleph. Meisvei, I have a question. Tanoikis, it says that young kids, like Koyden B'tchila B'Shabbos, they should not, when they learn on Shabbos, they should not start a new subject on Shabbos. Eloshoinen, you can do Chazorah on Shabbos, but you don't learn new things on Shabbos. Now, we're trying to understand what's the difference, Chazorah the first time or the second time. So, Bishlein, the Madam is happy to time. The one that says that the reason is because of... that you're only getting paid because you're teaching them the trup and how to read the psukim. Then hainu de ain't kaidin b'tchil b'shabbos. You understand? Don't do it the first time because it requires the first time you have to get paid, and you're not gonna get paid for work on Shabbos. But the second time they already know it already, so you don't really get paid. Elamandam as chashimus for babysitting makes absolutely no difference the first time and second time. I mean, it has nothing to do with the learning. It has to do with their behavior and keeping them indoors. You don't want them to run about and get hurt and so on and so forth. Amai and Kari B'chil B'Shabbos. Why the first time you cannot read B'Shabbos? Amai Shayin B'Rishim. What's the difference between the first and the second time? That you're not allowed to read the first time, but you're permitted to chaz. What's the difference? Regardless whether they're reviewing it or the first time, you still have to babysit. In fact, it's a lot, they're more settled the first time and second time. Second time, they think they know it already, they have no patience to learn. So you need more discipline, not less. So why is it that the second time you've been in the first time? So the mother goes back and says, so what are you saying? That you want to prove from here that the primary reason why you can get paid for teaching young kids is because of Pisuk timing. And that's why it's only the first time and not the second time. The first time you get paid because you taught them something new. The second time you don't really get paid because they know already. Just reviewing it. Says the Gemara, well, the time, let me ask you a question. what do you call it? The latime, according to you, so you're learning that the reason why you cannot teach the first time on Shabbos is because you're getting paid. And you're not allowed to get paid for services on Shabbos. What do you mean? You're not get paid for services on Shabbos. Havlohi. We have a concept, a principle called Havloh. And the principle is that you're not allowed to get paid, as we'll see in a minute, specifically for Shabbos. But if you're getting paid for the week, for the month, and Shabbos happens to be included in that, it gets swallowed up, and if it gets swallowed up, it's permitted. So therefore, my question here is, you're telling me you're not allowed to work on, you're not allowed to get paid for teaching for the first time on Shabbos, so therefore you say it makes sense. Why there's a difference first and second time if we're talking about teaching Pisuk timing? Why should it be forbidden? If this is the teacher, havloi, this is part of the wage, you get swallowed up, and havloi, mishashari, and you're permitted to get paid for service on Shabbos if it's part of the general work. How do I know that? The Tanya. Could be learned in a braise, if somebody hires an employee, to make sure, we learned before, that they used to, in Siktubas, they used to raise these children, the women, they used to bring these women on top of a big rock in the Shalai, and they wanted to make sure for the Parah Duma that there's no tumor whatsoever. So they found this big rock. In this rock, there's a gap of a tefach between the rock and below that. So first of all, nobody was buried underneath because the rock was always there. there's no chance anybody's buried. Plus, it's raised at the tefach, so it's like it's an oil. It prevents the oil from any tumor. If the bone rolled in there from going up, because there's a roof and the roof keeps it down. So if it's less than a tefach, then we say the tumor pierces through and goes to Shemaim. So they would hire an employee to watch these kids and make sure that they don't go off the rock, that they, you know, that they remain clear. Well, Lishma Sapara, you can hire people to guard the paradum. And this is 24/7. It's make sure the entire time. And Lishma Sazraim comes to Oimer to make sure that the Zraim again are all taken care of and they don't become Tame. Ain't noisin lischa Shabbos. It says that you don't pay them for Shabbos. Luficha, therefore. You know, just for the service on Shabbos itself, because he doesn't get paid, and what is he doing as a favor? So what is he classified as? A shemir chinam, and a shemir chinam is not liable for any shmira. The only thing a shemir chinam is liable for is pshia, negligence, but we already discussed the shit of the Rambam and some other shemir, that negligence is not a din of shmira, negligence is a mazik. The reason why a shemir pays is because the negligence, because tantamount to damaging yourself. So there's no laws of Shmir at all. So he's not liable at all. But if he was rented for the week, is rented for the month, rented for the year, rented for a Shmita for 7 years. A bit hard because it says in the Gemara, you're not allowed to have a contract for more than three years, because then it becomes like an Eved. But anyway, for whatever reason, you worked out a deal with it for 7 years to work. Then you can include Shabbos in there as well. Al-Ficha, therefore, now he's a Shem Sachar, he gets paid. If he lost it, Chai Bachrishna, Shem Sachar is liable for not only Pshia, but also for Gneva and Aveda and so on. There's a Machlek Zachronim on the Shit of the Rambam, the Pshia of a Shem Sachar, is that also a Mazik or that Dinah Shmir? There are different rules regarding Shmir or Mazik. So when he says that the Pshia is only a mazik, is referring to only limited to Shem Echinim or all Shemim. Anyway, so the Moses says, so why is it any better? Why is it any better if he's teaching Pesach time and he's still allowed to be permitted to get paid for it? So why should it be different the first time and the second time? Eli, you have to learn Pshat here totally differently. You know what? Nothing to do with getting paid, not getting paid. You know what Gabi Shabbos, why we don't do it the first time? Hine time, a fascinating reason. The Enkaim Bechila, we don't want to start a new share on Shabbos. Shum the Yifnu Avoysen, the Yenuka, the Mitzvah of the Shabbat. Different ways of learning Pshat, but the gist of it is you are forcing the parents to turn away from the kid, from the Mitzvah of Shabbos because of their kids. So some Rishonim say parents enjoy playing with the kids on Shabbos. And if they are learning the first time, they are not going to take the kid away because he's going to miss out. And they are going to miss out on their Oynik Shabbos. Their Oynik Shabbos is to play with the kids. Mishtasheya, Yelodov, which generally means to play with them. But if it's the second time around, the parents don't feel guilty taking the kids out of school and taking them home. That's number one. It's an interesting thing for if you want to go on holidays, when you can take your kids away from school. Second thing is, others say, no, you're waiting at a table. You want to sit the Shabbos, the whole family together, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting. But the kids didn't pick up whatever the shir was and have to, you know, drill it in again and again until finally the kid understands it. And meanwhile, it's harming or it's having an impact on the Einik Shabbos of the parents because they're waiting for the kid to come home to eat. That's why we don't want you to have a shir on Shabbos. Nothing to do with payment or anything else. Now, what's fascinating, oh, one more thing. Before I tell you what's fascinating, another pshat is, you know why on Shabbat they shouldn't have a share the first time? Not because of the parents who are waiting for the kids and you're affecting their Enoch Shabbos. It's the kids themselves. On Shabbos, you cannot have an Eon share on Shabbos. Shabbat you have chsidus fabring or gifts of anything, but not an Eon share. Why is that? Shun the Shabbat to Ochlin Vishasin. On Shabbos you eat far more than you eat during the week. You drink far more than you drink during the week. The Yakir Alain Alma, and the world literally becomes heavy on them. They feel drowsy, they feel lethargic, and they don't have the head to push it learn. Like we all do. You become very sleepy on Shabbos. Kidama Shmuel, Shilaveset Chilachelimaim. He says when you change your diet, that's the beginning of sickness. You feel weighted down. You feel heavy. So therefore, on Shabbos, it's not a good idea to have a shir on something, a pulpo or something in the morning and in the afternoon because your head is not into it. Now, there's an interesting Mordechai. The Mordechai brings a fascinating machlekes. I mean, the Mordechai takes your pshittas that you cannot get paid for service on Shabbos. How do all the Rabbanim get paid? And how do all the Chazonim get paid? And Shabbos and Yom Tov, so what we say is they're getting paid for the preparation. So it means if a Rav does not prepare his drasha before Shabbos, so Shailon Halacha, how he gets paid. The Mordechai brings two opinions. He brings Rabbeinu Baruch and he brings Rabbeinu Shmuel. Rabbeinu Baruch says you're not allowed to get paid for working on Shabbos. Only Schar Havla. So if you're preparing, whatever, so that's the Schar Havla. However, he brings Rabbeinu Shmuel. Rabbeinu Shmuel says, you're allowed to get paid for work on Shabbos. He says, you're allowed to, because the mitzvah. The whole issue of getting paid for working on Shabbos is only a drabon. What's Issa getting paid for working on Shabbos? Because it's like Mekha Memcha. And what's Issa Mekha Memcha? Because you might write contracts. It's actually two steps away. Quite a weak Issa. Rabbeinu Shmuel says, for Mitzvah Lach. So the two asks, so how you learn Shabbos? We're talking about a teacher learning a Chumash, whatever they're learning, Chumash and Chumash. And we're saying that you can't get paid for Shabbos. So what's he talking about there for Mitzvah Lach? So the Taz gives a brilliant answer. He says, there's a difference between what the work you're doing has anything to do with Shabbos. In other words, Shabbos demands this work. Or you happen to be doing a mitzvah because on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on Shabbos. So a Baal Keila, a Rav on Shabbos, or a Baal Tekei on Yom Tov. These are all jobs that relate directly to that day. And therefore, the Chacham didn't make the Issa. You're allowed to get paid. You're doing a mitzvah. But if you're doing other things, teaching your kids, it's not a din in Shabbos. So then, and the first time you could have done it on Friday and to Chazah, so therefore that is that's what it called. You know, get paid. You may have learned new things. You can Chazah. So you, therefore you don't have to get paid, and therefore you're not allowed to get paid in Shabbat unless it's Chavla. Okay. And the tourism one who asks on the main Shmuel from this Gemara. So you might further. Now, why are they arguing? Think about it. Well, my number is Pesach timing. The one who said the reason is because Pesach timing. My time is Chashimur. Why doesn't he say the reason is because babysitting? Because somebody holds. Now, there's two Gisayas in the Gemara. This is an our Gemara. This is the Gisayas. He holds Bonos Mika Boyin Shimur. Our Mishnah says Bonim. Bonim, sometimes we translate as sons, and sometimes we translate Bonim as children. If the Mishnah doesn't qualify it, we're going to say it means children. So bonus are included. And the Gemara says, girls are generally well-behaved. I mean, this Gemara in the Dorim, it's the second time where the Gemara is very pro-women. We had before when it came to the mitzvah of Pesachim, who came enthusiastically, came on time to rush to do the mitzvah is the bonus. The girls were shvelim and the boys and the girls was rizim. Second thing here is, he says, when it comes to behaving, they're much more mature. You don't need discipline for girls, for young girls like boys. So boys need shimur, girls don't need shimur. And yet the Mishnah says, but you're not allowed to teach anybody. Now, what kind of babysitting is there by girls? So obviously, that's why Birchina said, don't do babysitting here. Do it with teaching. So we see clearly from here that you can teach Chumash to girls. As the Rosh says here, the Rosh says, I'm just quoting the Rosh here. Mastisin stomach, Tony Malamed, as bonob, the mashma, and bonob, b'chai, to teach girls. Basically, in the Dorim, all the Rishonim seem to say to girls. Interesting that none of the Rishonim alert us to the Mishnah in sight. No. And here was a pshitus that you can learn that even the chatchila. Every edition he said that, but there is one other gizah that takes out the word bonus and puts some godl. Could we had a whole discussion before about a godl or a cotton? Our mission, the pasha, is talking about a godl, and there's no babysitting by a godl yet. It says us. I would give an answer before. Suri Mechsa doesn't like it. Why would you add words fill in the Mishnah? If you have that gist in the Gemara, then there's nothing to do with bonus, and bonus taka can't learn, and that fits into Saita. It's interesting, only one tradition brings that gist, and all the other training the pshitas say that girls are chayim and learning just like boys, and dobra pashut, and the chatchili, you can do that. Yeah, interesting, yeah. Okay, everyone said the same thing. Okay, let's continue Gemara. So that's why he doesn't like babysitting. Why don't you learn Pesach timing? Why doesn't Rav say Pesach timing? He's like, well, the man doesn't have Shem, my time doesn't have Pesach timing. So he holds Pesach timing that I saw. He holds a Pesach timing is from the Torah. It's not. And therefore, from the Torah, Ma ani bechinim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I was told to teach you, Ma ani bechinim, I'm not getting paid because he was rich. Or like the answer, Shetziva Hashem instructed, what did he tell me? To get paid. Obviously, Hashem gave him instructions not to get paid. And therefore, you know, I'll get paid for Pesach timing. So what are you getting paid for? It must be babysitting. What's going on in Pesach timing from the Torah? Now, piece of time is going to tell you not. Let me go to Rabbi Chanan. My Dixie is a pasuk. Ezra saying to Edom when they all came back from Babel, and he's giving them a fascinating thing there in Nehemiah, talking about the Yemtavim, what all the Yemtavim are, and so on and so forth. If you have a chance to learn that whole Taya Perich Ches in Nehemiah, where the people had no idea what a Shoshana is, had no idea, and so Yom Kippur is, had no idea what Sukkot is. And then Ezra has to tell them in two sentences, what's a Shoshana? You were thinking Shoshana is Yom Adin. That's what we're told. Nothing. He says, go party, be happy. You're not allowed to cry. I mean, you have to see this. And the Vilna Gaon says, you have to cry. And all the Achareim, they have a whole discussion. How can you cry in Rosh Hashanah? Some Tzedish, Ezra told them not to cry in Rosh Hashanah. So they, you know, they, so if they want to learn, you're not allowed to cry during the day, but only, but during davening, you're supposed to cry. And anyhow, so it's just fascinating. And what he says, you keep it, he says, Sukkot. So, says over there, are you caught up in the Sefer? They read in the Sefer Torah Lakim. The Fadish, it's explained. The same Sechel is given some understanding. The Yavinu B'mikra. What in the world are these three things here that he told them? By being, it should be able to understand the Torah. So this is what we touch. This is what Rav Chananel says. By Yikaru B'sefer Torah Lakim Zemikra. Totem Chumash. Mid Fadish, he explained it. It's a Targum. Targum. Now, the big machleik, the Targum means literally Targum Unkelus. Because in the beginning of the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara, we say that Unkelus learned from Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, that was his teachers, really was taught in Sinai, it was forgotten. Ezra taught it, it was forgotten. Keep letting me forgotten. Ezra taught it, it was forgotten. And then Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua taught it to Unkelus, and he put it out there. So this is the Targum that we have, is from Halakha Mishnah. But that's Pshat, it's very hard then to see how Rashi and all of those continue arguing, like your Pidush of Targum. If that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu told us, what does it mean? So it's not exactly, others say Targum is literally, it says in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu translated Torah in 70 languages. So he gave them a translation, whatever language it was, in Babylonian, because they just came from, maybe, who says Dafka Targum Unkelus? Okay, the next thing was the same Sechel, Elo Hapsukim, where the Pasuk ends. That was from him. The Yavinu B'Mikra, he gave them understand Mikra. When we get into San Mikra, it's a pisuk timing. That is trup. Because the trup tells you, a Zakev Katan puts the words together, a Zakev Katan puts the word together, and a Snachta tells you this is where the. We have a few, you know, actually Chumash and the Gemara, we had a few times that the words in the pasuk that you can read it either way, but the trup gives us an understanding. The Amdila, but those who hold that pisuk timing, now from the Torah, they learn Elohim Seder, the Chasev Yatim, more letters and less letters, that all comes from there. You notice it does not say here the kapitlach in the Torah, the prokim in the Torah, and so on and so forth, or shenishli should be, because that, as we know, is not even Jewish. It came from the Catholics. And one of the main reasons why they did it is to be able to debate with the Yidden, so they should use as references. So the Michas Alozo says, you paskas the chulis, you're not allowed to stop a shenishli should be the way it's in Al Chumash. You're not allowed to, because Lusechu Chuk the same. Yeah, and in fact, it doesn't even make sense. We go through most parshas where it stops, Sheni, Shlishi, three psukim further ends the Indian. What were they doing before? Everyone did whatever they wanted. There's no rules. Yeah, but it's a long time ago. Times in a boundary, you know, they were having debates. But I'm saying it's interesting. Michas Alozer, which I don't think anybody keeps, but Michas Alozer says, maybe Munkat should do, I don't know. Michas Alozer writes, you're not allowed to stop anywhere it's about Sheni, Shlishi. Unless we're stopping because it makes sense. And very few places actually make sense. Just look at it. Yeah, next time you look at any parsha, maybe it would make sense. I mean, I don't know what he did in the show, but I'm assuming we actually had a Caracas, a person in the community very close to us. He was a Munkacha Chassid. He's a Munkacha Chassid. And he said fascinating things. But I don't know. I never had thought of it. Or I didn't know about it at the time to ask him. But see, clearly from here, that's not included. Well, Ezra tells them all the basics of how to learn Torah, and doesn't anything about Sheni Shlishi to be and all that, or the Prakim, right? Rabbi Yitzchak Mikra, Rabbi Yitzchak said, talking about Chumashim, the Gemara in Kedushin says that the Seferim, they used to count the Psukim, they used to count the words. That's why they're called Seferim. They counted. Rabbi Yitzchak Mikra Seferim, the words of the Seferim. And you know, there's a Masada where they wrote everything down, and the Itu Seferim, we'll see in a minute, the crowning of the Seferim. I mean, sometimes the Torah has extra words that are necessary, but they did it to be poetic, or they did it to make it a nicer language. And we'll see in a minute what Mikra Seferim is. But Kari, like Stephen, sometimes you have words in Tanakh that are there, that we read it, but it's not there. Or ksiva v'lekayin. Something we have words that are written, but we skip it when we read it. Halacha l'mashin, they all come Moshe Mesinai. Mikra seifim. We give a few examples. Mikra seifim. The way we read it. How do we know how to read words? Edits. Should it be edits or odits? Depending if it's the end of a pasuk, it becomes a comment. If it's the middle of a pasuk. Interesting. We do have odits fardit. What happens to that rule? There's a sefer called, I forgot what it's called, Angitin. It was Gittin Kusher. So he has this whole theory that we don't know, nobody has the right alibis today. Nobody. So he brings that ayah. For example, a Krishma in Brachas, says, when you read Krishma, you have to be very careful and articulate the words so you shouldn't connect. So what are the words that the Gemara says? Hakonof psil. What's the problem there? This is a fei, this is a pei. Clearly, in those days, no such thing as a fei and a pei. Esev bisodcha. What's the problem there? Clearly, there's no vase and base. So when did that happen? We Ashkenaz have a Milo was fired because we have a chilvi or tough and a stuff, a comets and a patach. They have milos because they're chat of pasach and pasach are different from each other. The gimel, you know, the has a dat and not a dat. All those things we don't do right. And Taman sort of mixes both. I think it's supposed to be, they say that Havaris Taman is supposed to be the best, closest to authentic olive base. But here, for example, clearly the difference of comets and the patach, that's what it is. If you're Havaris Fadid, what is the difference? You always say, you never say comments. Or Shamayim and Mitzrim. How do you know if it's not Shamim or Mitzrim? There's a hidden aleph there. It's as if Shamayim, Mitzrayim. That's from the Mikra. That's a Mikra Seifer. That's what we're taught. Handed down. Ito Seiferim is a word that doesn't have to be. Avraham Avinu says, Achat Tabayro, afterwards you leave. Word that Achat doesn't have to say, just like leave. Or he could have said, Achat Telech. Afterwards, they say, Rivka, you can leave. Word Achat. Or Achat to Asad. Moshe Rabbeinu will pass away after Mechamed Midian. Say the word Achat. Or Kidmo Shodim Achat Negainim. The singers came first and then came the music players. They don't say word Achat. Because they say Kidmo Shodim Negainim or something. Or say Koscha Ki Haradikel. That the Malachim, the Haradikel, need Yitzitkis as well. What do you mean, Ki? You don't say Ki. You just say Haradikel. These are examples of words that iter, just to make it nicer. Kalim looks even written, read, but not written. For example, pros the belechta. In this pasuk, it says Nahar pros, that the Dovid HaMelech crossed the river, and it says in the pasuk over there, we read pros, even though it's not written. Or Ish, the Kasha Yisho, Ish Bedvar Alekim. Achi Tefel was so smart that people would come and ask him questions, and they would say, it says the word Ish, that people would ask, like people would ask Hashem, in the pasuk, it doesn't say the word Ish. Or Boyim Dinim, so Yimir says that, you know, we're going to come, the Hinyam Boyim, the Hashem will rebuild the city, the word Boyim is not written. Or law de plata. Or again, when Yimia says over there something that all those who flee, the refugees, and it says the law, which is not written there. Or Esther, the Huga that Boya says that I was told, everything that you did for your mother-in-law, the word S is not written. Or Eli the Hagoyden, there as well. And Ruth says to Naomi, everything I was told, Eli, no Eli in the pasuk. Or Eli the Hasoyden, again, Ruth, most of them are Ruth. Again, that, you know, he told me about the barley, there's no Eli there. Halon, these are Karyan, we read them, but the like Kosum were not written. Kosum, the like Karyan, written, but not read, it's not there, we don't read it at all, is, for example, no de the Yislah. That it says there that Naaman says, please forgive me, told Elisha, please forgive me that I have to go to the base of Beit Zorah with my king there, and I crouch down so he can lean on me. I'm personally not worshiping the Beit Zorah, but I have to crouch down because he's leaning on me, so please forgive me. So that no, for the Yislach is written, but we don't read it. Or Zeis of HaMitzvah. This is the mitzvah that Hashem said. The Zeis is written, but not, what do you call it? Is written, but we don't read it. Yidrich the Hadoyrich. It talks about the Yimio talks about all those archers. Said the word Yidrich, we don't read it. Or Chomej the past negative. Yecheskel is describing the base of Midrash. It says each time it was, you know, 4,500. One of the times it says twice Chomej, they won't read it. Or Im the Chigoyo, or the word Im from, again from Rus. If he doesn't, you know, the Bayez is saying about Ish Pleni Almighty. Im again, it's written, but we don't read it. Now the Ran says, and Tosafot says even more, that some of these things are not in our Torah. The taste of the top flight taste is there. Zeis the Hamitzah. Pashas Chanan. The Ein Akach B'Shum Chumash. We don't have that now, Chumash. And the Ran says in a few things there as well. The Gilyan Hashas, and I can't remember for the life of me where the Gidas of Kibeya, collects all the Psukim. We have any tastes a few times. That's not now Psukim. Interesting. All of this is in Tanakh, not in the Torah. It's all Nach. And it's Halacha Moshe Sinai. So Halacha, let's start off saying it. All this is Halacha Moshe Sinai. So interesting how exactly it worked. Halacha Moshe, the Ravaz explains it. I don't remember what he says. How Halacha Moshe Sinai worked in Tanakh. What exactly mean? All the words are written before, and how's it work? But there's a fascinating Radak, a scary Radak. Because we say that the entire Torah, everything is the way it is in the state of Moshe Sinai. The Radak says, now, if you just learn the Gemara, if you have any problems, at worst, it's only Nach. The Torah itself, everything, the Chassid, the Gemara says that we're not bucking the Chassid as we are. That's why the Shagaz Ari said there's no mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah today, because we don't know what's Chassid, Yatze, maybe not even Yatze mitzvah. The Radak writes in Shmuel, he writes a scary thing. He says that when the Eden went out of after the Beis HaMikdash, they lost the Torah. And the people who were bucking the Torah all died out. The Anshei Knesset like Gedola, when they went back to Yisrael, collected all the Sifrei Torahs, and they saw there were so many Nuschois in the Torah. He talks about Torah now, that's so scary. So many Nuschois, so they decided they're going to follow a majority. Like the Rambam writes in the Rambam, that it was a Sifrei Torah that everybody used to use as a reference. So they followed the majority. And after they follow the majority, but what about those places that they couldn't follow? There's no majority, like evenly argued, which is the way to do it. Those they decided either kriva leksiva, ksiva leksiva. All this in the Gemara here. What do you mean they write it and we don't read it? Or they read it and we don't write it? So if the mamas didn't know what to do, they would put it in just maybe, but we don't read it because maybe it's wrong. And those we read, we don't write is, it's a little bit of a raiv, but not strong enough of a raiv. So we'll put it in, but we're not going to write it in because scary thoughts.
Now, later on in your work, probably there's things from when it creates it.
We do, in fact. We do learn things from it. So it's all for reason. But fascinating Rosh. And you see clearly the Rosh is alerting us to Kabbalah. The Rosh says over here, I can't remember the Rosh is. The Rosh says, the Rosh is Sue. It's clear the Rosh is learning to come. Let's go the trick quickly a little further. Says the Gemara. Omer Achabarad, talking about the Taita, the Marav, and Yisrael, talking Lahadi Psukim, the Tlas of Psukim. The following Pasuk is divided into three Psukim, even though now Taita is all one Pasuk. And it says over here, Vayemer Shal Moshe, he and Noichi Bo, Lecha Ba'ava, and that long Pasuk there, they divided into three Psukim. Okay. Omer Achabarachanina, Lahesh Moshe, Shalashim Shalucha, Chavi Moshe, become wealthy from the Luchas. You should destroy for yourself luchas like the first ones. What do you mean, lucha to you? So, lasan shacha, yeah, you keep the sapphire, you keep the stone and Cambridge. The Torah was actually given to Moshe Ulazare and to his descendants. Shemar says, just like we just dashed that the remnants of the luchas went to Moshe. Also, the writing of the luchas goes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Nog Batovus Ein, he was being generous of spirit, the son of Israel, and he decided to give us the Torah. That's why we say in Shemanesa, Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelkei. It's his chelik. It says clearly, it's his chelik. All because why Moshe Tov Ein, who you buy it? But he's not going to be happy with that. So then what does it mean, Davin, say Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelkei? Masem Chizah. He said, what are you telling me that the Torah was given to Moshe and he did us a favor and gave it to us, shared it with us? Says the Fedish Apostle, but Oisi Tziva Hashem, but Eisi Hashem commanded. We had this a few days ago, instructed us, Lalam Neschem, to teach you guys. And he told me, Vani Lechem. So my answer is, but Oisi Tziva Vani Lechem. No, he instructed me the mitzvahs for me and the Torah. But I decided to give it to you as well. He didn't tell me to give it to you. Another Apostle, it says the Apostle, so, see, I taught you the Chukim Mishpatim that Hashem told me. So Hashem told me to give it to you. No. Again, one answers, Oisi Tziva, he told it to me, but Ani Lechem, I decided to give it to you. Says the Gemara, Va'atah Kisa Lechem, Es HaShira Zois, and says in the Esher Parashat Tzom, now write this Shira. So it says, clearly, Lechem, not just for you, but for everybody. This is for Klal Yisrael. So he says, Hashira l'chudu. Only the song is the only part that for Klal Yisrael, but the rest of the Torah is for Moshe. So he might say, what are you talking about? Said the apostle, "Lamanti yili Hashir alayz le'aid b'nei Yisrael." This will be an aid for Tai Kali Yisrael. If they misbehave, then they're going to get all this punishment. And you're telling me that only the song is no punishment. Very important. I'll get back to in a minute. Ela pulpula ba'alma. What Moshe Rabbeinu was given was the ability to fathom the Torah itself. The Torah is cryptic. The Torah is nebulous sometimes. And Moshe Rabbeinu is given the tools to understand it, and that was his personally, and he gave it to us. As all the Rishonim say, the Inyan of Chidud Shabbat is something else. But the Rush says on this, I should read you the Rush. Pulpula ba'alma, so he says here, Havana v'charifus, understanding a Shabbos. You're writing, what did Moshe Rabbeinu receive in Eivisha? The ability to understand it in depth. Kikol ha'chochme v'hasech. Where do you find the whole Chochma Seichel and Torah? Remuzim b'ksav ha-Torah b'tzuras ha-Oisis. That's Kabbalah. That the shape of the letters, you know, Abba Kiva Dashen from the Tagin of the thousand halachas, the shape of the letters is identifies the Pshat and everything here, which is pretty amazing. There's a famous Shagas Ayin that in Tshuva Lamadal talks about the mystic series of Torah. So the way we normally learn Sivat Torah is a mitzvah to write the whole Torah. The Rambam comes along, way we understand the Rambam. The mitzvah was to write only Hazim, not the whole Torah. But because you're not allowed to write Parshias, Parshias, so we have no choice but to write the whole Torah. So the whole Torah writing is like is an adjunct to Hazim. And the question is the Gemara clearly, so the Shagas Ari asked, and the Rambam, right here the Gemara says clearly, you look at Tosfos or in the Rush, because the Pasuk says that this Shira will be aid for the Klal Yisrael, is a raya, as Tosfos says, that the mitzvah is to write the whole Torah, that the whole Torah was given to us. That Shira means Torah. Shira doesn't mean Hazinu, it means the whole Torah. So the Shagas Ari asked, what's trapped in the Rambam then? How is the Rambam going to learn the Gemara here? Doesn't really answer, but that's the yes the number.
What's the source of the
Rambam? Because the Pasuk, after Kizach, the mitzvah is to write the Shira. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah. Have a good day, everybody.